Bible, if you would, this morning, and turn to the Gospel of John, back to the Gospel of John, if you would, please, in chapter number 3, and then also in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 16. We began a thought last Sunday morning on preaching on things that are eternal. We begin, of course, in the Gospel of John and read some verses of Scripture there. And then we went to the book of Genesis, and I began to look at the creation of man, and certainly how that in the creation of man, that man is an eternal soul, because we know from our preaching and studying, of course, I'm sure it wasn't new to anyone, but I'm certainly that God breathed in the nostrils, or Adam's nostrils, and certainly man became a living soul, which is an eternal soul. And we give you three things about things that are eternal as far as man and the design of man or the creation of man. We talked about God's design of man. We talked about God's distinction within man being that breath of life, that living soul. And then we talked about God's desire for man. And certainly that was to work and to replenish and certainly to have a relationship with the true and the living God. I'm going to preach on a subject this morning that I wish I didn't have to preach on, but certainly it's in the Word of God, and it's necessary that we preach on it this morning, because we are preaching on things that are eternal, things that are eternal. And I want to preach on a thought this morning out of the, certainly we'll look in the Gospel of John here, just a couple of verses, but certainly basically out of Luke chapter number 16, if you've been in church any time at all, certainly I'm sure that you've heard these verses preached on and taught on and talked about, but that's where the Lord's directed our heart. And so I want to talk about things that are eternal. I want to talk about the reality of hell this morning. The reality of hell. I realize it's not going to be a shouting time, and certainly it shouldn't be. I don't believe I should stand in this place this morning without somewhat of a broken heart and certainly a concerned heart and a compassionate heart for those today that will spend an eternity in such a place. But friend, I want to say today that you don't have to. I'm glad this morning that certainly that Jesus made a way. Matter of fact, He is the way, and certainly you don't have to go there, but it is dealing with things that are eternal. I want you to understand that today. Some people think that it's not eternal, but I want to tell you today, according to the Word of God, it is eternal. So we talked about an eternal soul, and today we'll talk about eternal separation. Eternal separation. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's certainly okay. John chapter number 3, as we used as a launching pad, certainly last week for this thought, because we find in John chapter 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." And you can put your name right there, friend. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." Then notice the next statement, "but have everlasting life," which means eternal life. Verse 17 lets us know, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned," and thank God for that. "But he that believeth not," I want you to underline those two words, "believeth not," is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 16, starting in verse 19. We have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And as I've said, I realize it's probably familiar to most. But today I pray that it would prick our heart and help us, if we're saved today, to understand that we have loved ones, if they don't get things right with God, that they're going to spend eternity somewhere. And we know by studying the Bible, there's only two places. And certainly this morning, that ought to burden our heart. And that should challenge our hearts today to go out and certainly to share the good news of the gospel. But could I say this morning, if there's someone here, and I truly believe this morning with a great possibility, there's probably folks here today that's never truly been born again. I pray that the Spirit of God will convict you and draw you and bring you to the realization that certainly this life at very best is short, but eternity is forever. And there is within this eternal thought a reality of a place called hell. I pray that God will convict you and draw you, and this very day that you would come and accept Christ, because He so loved you that He gave Himself upon the cross of Calvary that you could be saved. But as we look at the story, let us read the scriptures And we're going to have prayer, and I'm going to try to give you a few brief thoughts this morning. There's no possible way within the time we have allotted today for me to talk about all the things that the Scripture gives us about this place of eternal separation. The Bible says in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22 lets us know it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Then notice in the latter part of verse number 22, the rich man also died and was buried. And verse 23 says, after he died and was buried, the Bible says that in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Notice that. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Notice that this morning. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Notice a prayer here in verse number 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Notice that word, repent. And verse 31, and he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray for a moment. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Lord, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that you've allowed us to gather back to your house this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, for the teaching of your word. Lord, for the wonderful singing. Lord, all that's been done, Father, in your name this morning. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Now, Lord, we've come to the precious word of God. And Lord, we've come to a very difficult subject this morning, one that most people don't want to preach about and teach about, one that most don't want to discuss and truly look at the truths of the reality of this place called hell. So I pray this morning as we think upon things that are eternal, I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost of God would move now in the midst of this service. I pray that, God, this morning you give me liberty to preach what you've put upon my heart to preach. Lord, in this service, I realize that Satan's going to do everything he can to hinder. I realize he's going to do everything he can to take people's minds off the truths of the Word of God. But I pray just for a few moments this morning that, God, you'd guard my mind and my mouth, and Lord, that my thoughts today, that I would bring forth these thoughts with compassion and, Lord, with love this morning. But I pray that it would go out and bring an understanding to the ears of every person in this building today, that there's an eternity out there. And this morning there's things that are eternal. There's the eternal soul. But this morning there's also eternal separation for those that will not call and trust and repent and look to you. So I pray this morning this is a serious message. I pray this morning we'd be attentive. I pray this morning that the children of God would be praying throughout the duration of this message. Lord, if there's anyone here today that don't know you, has never trusted you, that, Lord, this very day that, Lord, they would come and call upon you for salvation. Then, Lord, we'd have a greater burden, a greater concern for those around about us today that's going to perish without God. So I pray this morning you move in the midst, and I pray that you'd help me now. Lord, I need your help, and it's in Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. As I said this morning, a very difficult subject to have to deal with here on this Sunday morning. But can I say this morning, if I'm going to be a Bible preacher, then this morning I must deal with this subject. And again, it breaks my heart to have to deal with this subject this morning, but today we have to have the whole counsel of God. I hope you understand that today. And I've not come this morning to scare anyone. I've not come this morning to have people to have this emotion or that emotion. And my prayer is this morning that God would move among us in such a way today that, again, if you're not saved, that the Spirit of God would convict you and draw you and bring you to understanding that there is such a place and there isn't a reality this morning of a place called hell. And so today I do pray that you would be attentive, and I pray you'd listen, and most of all, listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks unto your heart. As we said last week, we begin to look at things that are eternal, talked about certainly the eternal soul of man, because it come from an eternal God. And as you begin to study the subjects of things that are eternal, again we see this morning that there is an eternal soul, and this morning there is an eternal separation. And then I want to deal with a thought that I'm not going to get into today, but eternal salvation. I'd rather preach on that this morning, but I feel like that I need to cover this before we talk about the eternal salvation, because this morning there's a lot of people that are playing church. There's a lot of people that are playing religion. There's a lot of people this morning that they're hoping that everything's going to be all right. But friend, I want to tell you, when it comes down to the reality of leaving this world and facing a godless eternity today, friend, if hell was nothing more this morning than being separated from an all-loving God today, then friend, that would be hell enough. I'm telling you this morning, I'm telling you there's so much more. As you study your Bible, you will find today that the Bible gives us quite a bit of detail this morning about this place. And the very reason for that today is because God is wanting to warn mankind. As we go back to the book of Genesis, and we find that God gave that one law unto man, or that one rule, and man broke that rule. And when man broke that rule, it brought separation between him and a holy God. And so we see that in the book of Genesis. But God loved his fondness of creation so much that he made a covering that no doubt animals were slain. I truly believe it could have been lambs that were slain, and a covering was made for them. And we go through all the Old Testament looking at all the types and the sacrifices that is pointing to a place, hallelujah, called Calvary this morning, that 2,000 plus years ago that the precious Lord Jesus Christ himself, because of our sin and of our separation and of us needing a sacrifice and a Savior, he was willing to come and pay a debt that I could not pay. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something this morning. Every child of God that's truly saved and redeemed by the good grace of God, we ought to praise God and we ought to thank him today that we'll never feel the flames of a place called hell. We'll never have to go to that awful place. And friend, today, if you're without Christ, you don't either, because you still have time. You have an opportunity today to get things right with God, because this morning, as we've already established, you have an eternal soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Amen. So I pray this morning that God will move in our midst. I pray that if you've never given it much thought, that you cannot get it off your mind. I pray this morning that the convicting power of God would fall on your heart in such a way that you'd be afraid to leave this very sanctuary this morning until you make things right with God. You say, preacher, you're getting serious about this thing. Can I say this morning, as I've already said, we're dealing with a very serious subject. I'll tell you what, people are perishing without God this morning. But I'll tell you what, thank God, it's not God's fault this morning. God has made a way. And I'm so glad for that way, being his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's examine some things. That's going to be a little bit different than maybe what I usually preach. But this morning I pray that God will get our attention. You'll find in the Bible certainly many references to this place of hell. You'll find in the Old Testament, there's basically one word that's used in the Old Testament for the word hell. You'll find this morning that the first first mention of hell is in the book of Deuteronomy and chapter number 32 and verse 32 or 22 in the Song of Moses. You'll find the Hebrew word that's used for hell in our King James Bibles this morning is the word Sheol. It means Hades or the world of the dead. Now, when I go through these definitions, just think about it. If this is a place you'd like to spend eternity. I know we're living in a time where people think it's a joke. I realize we're living in a time where people think that we're serving a God of love, and thank God we are, but we're also serving a God that is a God of judgment, a God that is right, a God that's going to judge sin, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But friend, what you do with Jesus this morning will determine where you spend eternity. We find this morning, let me give you a few scriptures today. In the book of Psalms and chapter number 9, let me go back to just a moment for this word Sheol. Again, it means Hades or the world of the dead. Just think about if that be a place you want to spend eternity. Included in this definition, included in this place of the world of the dead, its accessories and inmates. Did you get that word inmate? I don't want to be an inmate anywhere. Inmate talks about bondage. Inmate talks about being guilty of something. Now, there was a day I was guilty, but thank God I'm glad I've been set free. Hallelujah, by the power of Almighty God. Because I trusted in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and Him raising again, repenting of my sin and trusting Him as my Savior. It also means grave. It can mean hell. And of course, it means a pit. The book of Psalms in chapter number 9 and verse number 17. Let me give you several verses this morning. Again, I don't have time to give them all to you, but I just want to give you a few. Book of Psalms chapter 9 verse 17, the Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Psalms 86 and 13, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 20, "Hell and destruction are never full." Isaiah chapter number 5 and verse number 4, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." Do you understand this morning, friend, this is a real place? Do you understand this morning that irregardless of what you might think about it and what others might say about it and others talking about going there and partying, I'm going to show you some verses this morning that certainly tell us right the opposite. And so today I pray, oh God, I pray this morning, God, that our ears and our hearts will be open to what you have for us. Oh God, today for those that are lost, help them to see that it's a place. Here we've already read about that enlarges itself this morning. And after this morning in hell and destruction are never full. And the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. But I love Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18. The Bible says there is Peter and Jesus are having a conversation. He says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," speaking of Christ Himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I like that, don't you? I'm glad, thank God, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad for the church that He died for. I'm glad for the church this morning that's saved and redeemed by the good grace of God. You'll find also in the Gospel of Matthew, you'll find in chapter number 8 and verse number 12. You'll find in chapter number 22 and verse number 13. You'll find in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 51. You'll find also in chapter 25 and verse number 30. You'll find in Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 28, it talks about weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Does that sound like a place that you'd like to visit this morning? I'm telling you this morning, that ought to break our hearts. I'm telling you what, we've already read here in the Gospel of Luke, it's a place of torment. It's a place of fire. It's a place this morning. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today, friend, that you do not want to experience this morning. You say, "Preacher, who's going there?" Those that reject Christ as Savior. The Bible plainly teaches us this morning that it's not God's will, God not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, it's all up to you this morning. It's up to me this morning. But there is the reality of this place called hell. The separation this morning of the soul, the place of eternal separation. Matthew chapter number 13, verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That word weeping this morning simply means to wail. It's not crying just a little tear. It's wailing that's taking place. And then that word gnashing of teeth, it means this morning to grate the teeth in pain or rage. You ever heard anybody grind their teeth? Oh, my soul. I'm telling you, you talk about making the hair stand up on my head. I'm telling you what, and that's one of the things that, boy, I'm telling you, I just can't hardly tell. It just gets on my nerve. But could you imagine a Christless eternity in a place where there's such pain and there's such agony that they're wailing and they're weeping and they're gnashing their teeth, grinding their teeth together? Friend, if that don't sound real to you, then friend, I'll tell you what, you need to have your head examined. I'm telling you, that's just as real as me standing here in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, trying to preach to you and trying to warn you that you don't have to go there. Hallelujah. I'm so glad this morning for the love of Almighty God. Thank God that He paid a debt that I couldn't pay. I'm glad I'll never have to worry about that weeping and that wailing and that gnashing of teeth and the torment and the fiery furnace. I'm telling you, I'm glad I'll never have to face that this morning. But friend, without Christ, this is what, you think it's bad now? Now, truly for the child of God, the best is yet to come. Listen, I'm enjoying things now. I'm glad to be alive now. I'm enjoying the blessings of God now. But it's nothing to compare to the blessings that I'm going to get to enjoy. But hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb of God this morning. I don't have to go to a place called hell this morning. Well, the Scripture also teaches us that the worm... Mark chapter 9, verse 48, 44, Mark chapter 9, verses 44, 46, and 48 gives us this word there, worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. How many of you in here this morning have ever been burnt by just a little fire? I believe that's the most of us. Now, if you hadn't, y'all thank God for that. Because it don't take much. Oh, preacher, we won't feel anything there. Well, not according to Lazarus. Not according to the Scripture. Most of these Scripture texts or references I give you come from the very mouth of the Lord Jesus Himself. Where their worm dieth not. That word worm has reference to meaning disease with maggots. Preacher, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear it. Well, you're going to hear it anyhow. People need to hear. People are living in a fantasy world. Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody can, but everybody's not. Because of your choice. Now, you're a sinner by nature and by choice. And so am I. But friend, there's a remedy for all that. Thank God, I'm glad there is. Let me give you a few other things this morning. Now, as you come to the New Testament, there's three words that are translated into the word hell from the Greek language. First, there's the Greek word Gehenna. It means a state of everlasting. Again, just think about these definitions and see if it's a place you want to go to. Because ultimately, if you reject Christ, this is where you're going. I'm sorry. I love you. God loves you this morning. But by your own choice, you choose to go. And the preacher can't preach yet. Listen, people die and you have funerals. And listen, I always want to be respectful and all those kind of things. But it makes no difference what the preacher says. I can't believe that preacher said that. Well, friend, I'll tell you what. We close our eyes, death. Our eyes and death. Every one of us are in the hands of a just God. Like it or don't like it, you whatever you want to do with this morning, I'm just trying to tell you, trying to warn you. There's that word of Gehenna, which means a state or a place of everlasting punishment. What are we talking about? What are we preaching on? Things that are eternal. Then you have the Greek word Hades, which means a place of departed souls. It can mean grave or hell. And then you have a third word that's used that translated into the word of hell from the Greek language into our English Bibles. And it's the word tartaro. And it means the deepest abyss of Hades, to incarcerate in eternal torment. There's that word incarcerate. Doesn't use the word inmate. The word incarcerate, that means you get locked up. Is that not right? Brother Buster brought his handcuffs today. I wish he had his big set. If we need to handcuff a mouse, we might could do that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But he's got a little picture, a little emblem there of handcuffs. That means when you get put in those handcuffs that you have been incarcerated, that you're fixing to get locked up. Can I say this morning, there is going to be no partying. Like a lot of the rock groups that some of y'all, I hope, just used to listen to, but don't listen to anymore. Amen. It's getting quiet now. That's all right. I'm still preaching. Amen. You might have used to listen to it, but I sure hope you don't listen to it anymore. Because I'm glad I'm not on the highway to hell. I'm glad I'm on a highway, thank God, to a place called heaven this morning because of the blood of Calvary. I'm glad I'm not going to be an inmate throughout all eternity. I'm glad I'm not going to be incarcerated for all eternity. Hallelujah. Thank God we'll be free to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Stroll over glory. Walk up and down Hallelujah Avenue. I'm telling you what, pick us a fruit off of that fruit tree that bears 12 manner of fruit. I'm glad. I'm not going to that place.
Amen.
But friend, without Christ, you are. You are. The last word that I give you that's used in our English Bibles comes from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4, where Peter's talking about the false teachers and the angels who sinned against God. Is where they were placed in that deepest abyss. Preacher, I don't have to worry about that. Now, I believe there's different degrees. I believe the Bible teaches us that. But friend, irregardless, I'm glad I'm not going. I'm glad I'm not going. I'm glad I'm not going. Things that are eternal. The eternal soul. That will be eternally separated for all eternity. I know some religions teach and preach that we can go pray them out. Give me chapter and verse where that happens. It ain't happening, friend. If you get there, if you go there when you close your eyes in death, just as this rich man did, in hell, you'll lift up your eyes. You will get out at one point, according to Scripture. You'll get out to stand before the great white throne judgment.
Are you with me? To be judged and then to be cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible says forever and forever and forever. Now this is serious business. We're concerned about a whole lot of things today. And I realize there's things that we have to be concerned about. But I'll tell you what, we ought to get real concerned about this. We ought to get real concerned and real burdened this morning. Because people are dying every day, every moment. I forget what the number is. Every minute. And according to our Bibles, and I believe our Bibles is right, they're slipping off into eternity. Oh, this morning. Where will you spend eternity? There are things that are eternal. That soul that God gave man there in the garden is eternal. But there are those that will be eternally separated. Because of their rejection. Not because they're sinners, because we're all sinners. But because of their rejection of Christ as Savior. Let me say this morning three things that they'll be separated from. They'll be separated from everything that is good. There is no good there, friend. Can I say it again? There is no good thing there. There's more scriptures, but I've got to get into these thoughts this morning. You'll be separated from everything that is good. Why? Because you'll be separated from everything that is godly. Listen, it's a place that's not even been prepared for mankind, but for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared. It was not made for you to go there. Oh, dear God, I wish you could see that. I would to God this morning that God would help you to understand that it's not His plan, His will for you to go there. You say, well, preacher, why would I have to go? Because of your own rejection. You'll be separated from everything that's good. You'll be separated from everything that's godly. And thirdly, you'll be separated from God Himself. You just don't realize how good you've got it this morning. Do you know something this morning? God's been long-suffering towards you. God's been merciful to you. God's been patient with you. Hey, man. But there will come a day. If you choose to reject Christ, that you too will be separated. See, right now, you're under the dispensation of grace. And you're under the grace of God this morning, whether you even realize it or not. There ain't no telling how many things God's brought you through that you didn't even think about. Hey, man. Boy, God sure protected this old boy for a long time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I begin to think about that, and I think about all the things that could have happened and I didn't before I got right with God. But just the long-suffering, the grace, and the mercy of God, boy, I'm so glad He extended that to me that I could hear the gospel message one more time and get right with God.
See, death here for the child of God just brings separation between loved ones and the things of heaven for just a little while. But I'm talking about all eternity this morning. Let me give you three or four things. I'm just going to give them to you quickly and let you think about them. But could I ask you a question this morning to your own heart and your own mind? Does that sound like a place you want to... I don't even want to visit. Matter of fact, I don't want to get in 500 miles of a place like that. Much less spend eternity there. Let me give you three or four things here and I'll be done. Number one, it's a permanent place.
I've already said that, but let me, if you're going to write it down the way of notes, it's a permanent place. Could I say it one more time? It's a permanent place. You only get out for the, as I said, for the great white throne judgment, and then you're cast into the lake of fire. Where the devil, the false prophet, and all the hounds of hell, amen, will be cast. To a lot of folks today, thinks the devil's already there, but he's like that roaring lion, seek him whom he may devour, going to and fro. But one day he'll get put in his place. And I'm glad I'll get to be there to witness it and be a part of it. But the sad part will be to see all those people. The Bible says hell will be delivered up to stand before the great white throne judgment, only to be cast into the lake of fire. It's a place that is permanent. Preachers used to preach on hell, and it would move people. You preach on hell now, people look at you and laugh at you. Laugh all you want to. Dear God, I pray the God of heaven get a hold of your soul. You can say it's a fairy tale. You can say it's a myth. You can say whatever you want to. But friend, it's a permanent place. Not only is it a permanent place, but let me give you something else today. You say, preacher, you're enjoying preaching this. No, absolutely not. I don't enjoy preaching this. I would to God I didn't have to preach it. But I'm bound by this book and by my call. Matter of fact, I'll be honest, we probably need more of it. Preacher, you're trying to scare me. Well, I'm telling you what, if this don't scare you, there is something wrong with you. It's a permanent place. Secondly, this morning, not only is it a permanent place, but it's a painful place. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not much for pain. I'm kind of like old Fred. I believe it was Fred Sanford said he was allergic to it. Matter of fact, I don't know many people that does. Matter of fact, we're living in a day where people, any little old pain, they run to the doctor and they get pain pills. Now listen, if you need them, you take them. But we have a society today that's trying to drown its pain and its sorrow in a pill bottle. I'm preaching good. I'm preaching right.
Amen.
And it's probably affecting families sitting right here in this church this morning. I'm not throwing you under the bus. I want to help you this morning. I'm glad there's one that can help you, and his name is Jesus today.
Amen.
But you're trying to find your relief in a bottle. You won't. This is good. You won't find your relief in a bottle. You'll find your relief in a book. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm glad, thank God, there's sweet relief. I'm glad there's sweet peace. I'm glad there's sweet joy. I'm glad there's sweet comfort. I'm glad there's sweet hope. I anchored my soul in the Word of God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
It's a permanent place. It's a painful place. And I've preached from this text before. And we well know from this text that Lazarus, or the rich man, calls for Lazarus to come and be able to dip his finger in water. And all he's asking for is a drop. He said, to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And then it also talks about torments. That's plural. In the English language, that means more than one. Do you understand this morning that that rich man is still desiring that one drop of water to cool his parched tongue? Young people need to hear that there's such a place. Because there's plenty of people out there telling them that there's not. There's even religions that say there is no hell. Well, evidently they're reading a different Bible than I'm reading out of. Does this sound like a place that you want to go? Well, now, according to the Gospel of John, you're in condemnation already if you've not accepted Christ. It's a permanent place. It's a painful place. Let me say something else about it this morning. I've got to get on with it. It's a permanent place, a painful place. It's a praying place. I'll tell you what, one thing, preacher, I'll never pray. Yeah, you will. He was praying for comfort. He was praying for mercy. He was praying for a drop of water. But he was also praying, go tell my brothers! Go tell my brothers! They don't want to come to this awful place! Matter of fact, I don't know many people in their right mind that's incarcerated and the inmate wants the rest of the family to come on down and join me. Just come on down. We're having a great time down here. Oh, it's a permanent place. It's painful. It's a praying place. Praying for relief. He's even praying for evangelism to take hold. I preached from this text one time, and I think it was here. And I entitled it a prayer that will never be answered. You understand this man's praying prayers, that this rich man? He didn't go to hell because he's a rich man. Lazarus didn't go, he didn't go into Abraham's bosom in the place called paradise. And I don't have time to differentiate all that this morning. But he didn't go to that place of paradise because he was poor. Or because he had an affliction. He went there because he trusted God.
Right.
And the rich man trusted in his riches rather than the God that gave him the riches.
Right.
It's a praying place. I'll tell you one thing, I'll never pray. Yeah, you will. I can promise you, according to the Scriptures, one day you will pray. I would say this morning, don't let it be too late. All this man's prayers is vain and void. What did he tell him? He's got Moses and the prophets. Oh, if one went back from the dead, they'd believe, they'd hear him. He said, they will what? Here's an important word. Repent. People want religion without repentance. Wow. It's getting quieter and quieter the whole time. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Could I say one did rise from the dead? How do you know, preacher? Because the book tells me so. 500 plus people, I witnessed it. That he's alive. It's a permanent place. Painful place. It's a praying place. As I said, it's not a partying place. But let me say this in closing. There is power to redeem. You don't have to go. Family doesn't have to go. Friends doesn't have to go. Neighbors doesn't have to go. Why? Because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And friend, that means that God loves you. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't make any difference. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. It doesn't make any difference if you got out in sin a little, you've got in waist deep, or you got in over your head. I'm glad, thank God, there was enough precious blood shed upon the cross of Calvary. There's enough power in that blood to redeem and to save the whole world this morning. And that includes you. There's power to redeem. Let me give you one more verse of Scripture and I'm done. Romans 5:8-9. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more, then being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What's all that mean, preacher? Simply means this morning, friend. God loves you, and God paid a sin debt so that you don't have to. So that you can escape the wrath and the judgment of Almighty God. How do you do that? By faith in the person of Jesus Christ himself. That's the only way. Preacher, is there not another way? Mm-mm. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. There is no other way. Now, at this particular time in the history of your life, September, what's today, the 3rd, 4th? September the 3rd, 2017. You have an opportunity right now this morning in this place to change your eternal destination for all eternity. I can't promise you another opportunity. I don't know. God may give you opportunity after opportunity, but I can't promise you that. I tell you what I can promise you. I can promise you that you got today. And according to this same Bible says, today is a day of salvation. Right. Preacher, you're trying to scare me into getting saved. Well, if he'd scare you bad enough to get saved, hallelujah. Amen. Right. I don't want you to die and perish and have eternal separation from a holy God this morning. Think about mom and dad that's ready to go. Brothers and sisters that's ready to go. Grandpa and grandpa's, maybe some of them done went on. I'm finding out that the older I get, the more and more I get over on the other side than I've got here. I got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. And friend, it's just as real. It's just as real as you sitting right here this morning. In hearing these truths, my question is, what will you do with it? See, it's entirely up to you. God wouldn't do that. Well, God's give you opportunity, and God's knocking on your heart. You'll never be able to stand at the great white throne judgment if that's what happens to you and say, God, I didn't know. God, I didn't know. Nobody didn't tell me. Nobody didn't warn me. And I also don't want to stand there and have the blood on my hands. Church, we got a great responsibility to warn folks that there's a place of eternal separation. And what you do with Jesus is a determining factor before you spend eternity. Not a whole lot much to rather preach on heaven. And I'm going to if the Lord will let me. But friend, if you ain't ready to go, all you're going to do is just miss out on what God's got for his people. But you're going somewhere. Some people think they have the mindset, well, when they die, they just die and that's it. That's the end.
No, when man got that eternal breath from an eternal God, and man became a living soul, man became an eternal soul. So you ought to think about it. Matter of fact, you ought to do more than think about it. You ought to do something about it. You ought to do something about it today. Let's stand at our feet all over the building. Brother Scotty, won't you come give us an invitation song? Father, thank you now for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege to stand here this morning and try to proclaim some of the truths of a place of eternal separation. Now, Lord, I realize today that, Father, I've not even scratched the surface of all the verses of Scripture that you warned us, that you used to warn us with. And, Lord, the reason you do that is because you love us. And, Lord, I'll be the first to admit this morning, this is not one of my favorite subjects to have to preach on. But, Lord, it's most needful. And, Lord, you know who you knew before I even got here this morning and who was going to be here and what needed to be said, what needed to be done. And, Lord, I do hope and pray this morning that, Lord, I've done my part that you put on my heart to do. Lord, it shakes my soul this morning to think that, Lord, I could stand in this place and not warn folks and not preach and rightly divide the word of truth. Because, Lord, this is serious business. And, Lord, I thank you for loving us today. And Lord, for those that could be here today. Now, Lord, I don't know anybody's heart. They could be a member of a church or this church, or they could have been baptized, but, Lord, that doesn't mean they're saved. And, Lord, today I pray that you help them to see that they need to repent and receive you today into their heart. I'm glad it's simple that even a child can understand it. I'm glad for the illustration of the man that said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Just those simple words. The Bible says he went down to his house justified. Lord, it's not difficult and it's not hard, but sometimes it sure is hard to turn loose. So I pray in the stillness of the service this morning, I commit it to your hands. Lord, it is things that are eternal. It's permanent. Can't rub it off. Can't rub it out. Can't wish it away. It's permanent. I pray now. Put the invitation into your hands. God, you work. God, you move. God, you speak. And I pray each and every individual be, Lord, submissive today. And it's in your name we do pray. It's every head's bowed, every eye's closed for just a moment as